During the decades when Americans worried about dying in a nuclear war, our government tested nuclear weapons extensively, and that required military personnel to be on hand, people who got exposed to radiation and noticed changes to their health afterward. The situation led to the birth of a group to look out for their welfare, the National Association of Atomic Veterans. Even though it's been more than 50 years since we tested weapons in atmosphere or ocean, NAAV is still active. The national commander and treasurer both live in Oregon, in Lebanon. Fred Schaefer is the NAAV national commander. Fred, thanks for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you.
And H. Frank Farmer, who is the treasurer of the Atomic Veterans, is with us as well. Hi, Frank.
Hi.
So, Fred, if you would, give us a little bit of history here about the creation of the association.
Okay, in 1976, Orville and Wanda Kelly formed the National Association of Atomic Veterans in Iowa. And since that time, it has grown considerably, and in here last few years, we've been losing a lot of atomic veterans. In the Cold War era, there was 250,000 approximately veterans, military personnel, at test sites, and about 250,000 civilians. The civilians have good health care. The veterans, we don't. We were used as guinea pigs.
Where do the civilians get their health care from? Why do they have a good system?
They have the federal government behind them. They were working for the government.
Ah, okay.
And we were just employees of the government. We were just peons.
Mm-hmm. So the numbers of people, you're talking about 250,000 people, but it looks like the chances of exposure are even larger than that, Fred.
Oh, yes. Oregon, back in the, I'm going to say the 50s, when I was growing up, I can remember the reports of the dairy products in Tillamook have radiation. They have been exposed. The cows are eating the grass where the radiation fell. Oregon has had some very heavy doses of radiation from Hanford and from venting atomic blasts in Nevada, coming up the Snake River, down the Columbia, and right on through.
And so, Fred, what was your own exposure? I'm assuming you were exposed, too, at some point.
I was aboard ship at Christmas Island. We were told we were going to be put on a mission of top secrecy. We had to be cleared by the CIA or the FBI, whatever, and it made us all feel good that we passed. Only one man got taken off the ship for security reasons. And our ship sailed to Christmas Island, which is south of Hawaii, just short of the equator. We did go across the equator and got initiated into became shellbacks instead of polywogs before you go across. And then about 2 days later, we were exposed to some of the atomic tests, and they asked, hey, who wants to go up and watch this? You know, you can, if you're not on watch, go up on deck and you can watch. They gave us glasses. Then at 11 o'clock in the morning, it was absolutely bright, sunny. You put on those glasses and you couldn't see your hand in front of your face. And when the bomb went off, you saw your bones in your hand that was in front of your face. It's just a giant x-ray of your body.
Hmm.
And they had us turn our backs when it went off, and then, I don't know, it was a few seconds afterwards, probably 30 seconds, you could turn around and look. They said if you were looking at it with a naked eye, you would have been immediately blinded. And then we proceeded through the atomic test with our ship, and we had a new washdown put aboard to see how active it would be. They were just wanting to find out how soon could they move troops into an atomic blast and not kill all the troops.
Wow, that's an amazing story. We are talking to the National Commander and Treasurer of the National Association of Atomic Veterans, both residents of Lebanon, Oregon, Fred Schaefer and Frank Farmer. You can join us with questions or comments, 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Frank Farmer, what was your exposure?
Well, I was in Aniwetok in the Marshall Islands. I was in 18 blasts. We We didn't have glasses. I was before Fred. We were ordered above ship on main deck, and they would tell us to face away from where the blast was. And as soon as the blast went off, like Fred said, we had our arms and hands over our face, over our eyes, with your lids shut real hard, and you still see the bones in your hands. And after the blast went off, then they would tell you to turn around, and if just as you turned around, then the shock wave hit you, and it actually moved you. In the air, shock wave was so strong. And we'd stand there and watch a cloud, and the cloud would just keep building, and most of them went up to 40,000 feet. And I was in 18 of them. I had the first bomb I was at, I had got tinnitus in my, in my ears are ringing, and I still have that today. I've been fighting that ever since 1958. And I didn't even know I could go to the VA until I met Fred. I believe it was 2003. And I found out later that in 1996, they released us from our secrecy oath. But they never notified me.
So 45 years you could have gone to the VA and didn't?
Yeah.
Wow.
And when I finally went, I filed a claim for tinnitus, and I got a 10% disability and hearing aids, which helps. The hearing aids really helps on the tinnitus. Mm-hmm. And then it's about 6 years ago, I had a rash that I got when I was out there in the islands. I scraped my leg on coral, and within a week, my lower extremities were just covered with a rash. And now the VA says it's not a rash,
is this something related to the atomic exposure?
Well, I think it is. They don't say so, but mm-hmm. I think it is. I never had it until I scraped my leg on that coral when the bomb went off, all that contamination falls down to the water and goes right on down to the bottom.
Hmm.
And I think I got it off of the coral when I scraped my leg.
Let's take some calls here from folks who want to talk to you guys. We're talking to Fred Schaefer and Frank Farmer from the National Association of Atomic Veterans. Frank is the treasurer. Fred is the national commander. Here's Skeeter and Eugene. Welcome to the exchange.
Oh, good morning. In 1961, I lived at Point Magoo, which was the headquarters for the Pacific Missile Range.
In California.
Southern California. My father was the Pacific Missile Range safety officer, and that year he and one other sailor were the only two people on this small atoll in the Pacific near Johnson Island. They were about to launch a missile with a nuclear weapon on the top of it, and they were in the bunker, and they came down, the countdown went to zero, and the missile did not go off. My father said, "Dude, you're a young guy. I'm going to go out there and see if I can tinker around and get, fix it so the missile will launch." My father went out of the bunker, and the missile exploded right there on the pad, not too far away. The nuclear weapon did not go off, but it spilled its contents all over the ground nearby. The Navy said, "Mr. Duke, we suggest that you get a physical every year because you may end up getting leukemia because of this." Sure enough, in 1990, he got leukemia, and he was dead in 11 months. Hmm. Interestingly, his sister, right around the same time, about a year later, was standing. She was a very high official in the State Department back in 1961, 62. She was standing next to President Kennedy when he signed the Atmospheric Nuclear Weapons Test Treaty, which is very ironic. I ended up doing lots of anti-nuclear work in the 70s against nuclear power and weapons in the Northwest.
Sure.
My dad was very, quite supportive of me doing that.
So, okay. Anyway. Skeeter, thanks for sharing that story. Very much appreciate hearing that. And, Fred, I imagine you hear stuff like this a lot.
Yes. Yeah, we do. And you made the comment to Frank that he could have had VA coverage 45 years earlier.
Mm-hmm.
That's not true.
Okay.
VA, it was a top-secret mission. We were all sworn to secrecy, and we were threatened with treason if we talked about it. And I started trying to get into the VA in the 70s when I first found out about it, and they knew nothing about what I was talking about. It just did not happen. They had no records. And in 96, when the general released us from our top secrecy clause, the VA had a brand new door open up for us.
Okay, but not until that time.
Because, not until that time. You couldn't talk. I wasn't that worried about the treason. I didn't figure they were going to come after a little person like me over this. And the group had already formed, so we were voicing our opinion. Thank goodness for the Internet, we are where we're at today, because that has helped us a bunch.
No doubt. Let's take another call. We have Paul in Grants Pass on the line. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Frank and Fred from the National Association of Atomic Veterans.
Good morning, gentlemen. I'm sorry you went through what you went through, and I hope in the end that you have as long and happy and fulfilling lives as you possibly can. In the work that I do, I get to meet a lot of people, and I met a fellow who was at one of the early tests in at White Sands. And what he told me was this. He told me that what they would do is take people out of Army units at random and mix them up in units so nobody knew anybody. They'd ship them by train across the country, truck them out. They were exposed directly to the radiation at distance and the blast at distance, and then sent back to their units with no explanation. So that was the story he told me. He did live a long life and was in reasonably good health until the end of his life.
All right. Thanks for sharing that, Paul. Appreciate that. So Fred, what has been the official governmental response to the National Association of Atomic Veterans? They've certainly been talking to you since the mid-90s, it sounds like.
Well, VA has come on board, and we have some coverages. We would like to have a few more things, and there's a lot of bloodline diseases going on that we would like to see that the government sort of help out with. There's all kinds of stories of people, the family never having any problems prior to, they had children prior to being a test site participant, and after that they've had health problems with the new children that have been born, and there are just so many things. And in the beginning, they promised the atomic veteran, not me, but several of the people in the Army and the Marines, that they would give us a medal. Now, I didn't care about a medal, but they promised it to many, and those guys and their families would love to have that recognition. And this is what we've been after for over 20 years, trying to get past a little bill that says that the atomic veterans receive a medal, and it gets thrown out, and it just never happens. And we were told that it looked like it was going to happen this year before the 1st of August, and it got moved off to the side. I haven't heard anything from it to see if it did get passed for sure or not. And every year we put it up. Senator McGovern brings it up, or Congressman McGovern from Massachusetts brings it up, introduces the bill every year for us. And one of these days, we hope it'll go through.
I understand it's not just limited now, the atomic veterans, to people from when there were nuclear tests. You also have reached out to Gulf War veterans as well. Is that right, Fred?
Oh, yes. They're around depleted uranium. In 77, the Eniwetok Cleanup Boys Army, they went onto the island to try to clean up the island of plutonium and put it in a great big hole in the island and covered it with 10 foot of concrete. The concrete has since cracked, and it's leaking. they said that it wasn't quite full when they were finished with doing what they were doing, and they brought in a bunch of Agent Orange, dumped it inside, and then sealed it up, and they said that Agent Orange is leaching out the bottom of their hole that they covered, their vault. And we've also included the Marshallese. Not only did we nuke them, we nuked their homeland. And they're still having problems. And there's 7,000 here in the state of Oregon. And we're working with them, trying to help them get some of their recognition.
So, I mean, we're talking with the people who are exposed to nuclear tests. Even the youngest military member in 63, when the test ban took effect, would be 71 now. So you mentioned at the beginning people dropping off over the years. What's your membership now?
Well, right now we got approximately 1,500 members, and we're getting more signing up now than are passing away that we're finding out about. And a lot of them, we've opened the doors to family members, anyone interested, and it's helping. Even the Marshallese are joining in. We're supporting them in the state of Oregon and throughout the United States. If we can get them some of their benefits, they in turn are helping us to get ours. So we're working across the U.S.
Aside from the Congress member from Massachusetts, anybody else you have the ear of in Congress?
Well, we have gained our senator. I've started talking to Merkley,
mm-hmm.
and his office is starting to talk to me, but I can't think of his name right now. Senator
Wyden. Wyden, okay.
He has, at our meetings, the last several meetings since last year in Washington, D.C., every time we have a meeting, he has one or two field reps down, and if somebody comes up with a problem, those field reps get in touch with that person, and they try to solve their problems for him, and that's been helping quite a bit.
Okay.
And we're making a lot of waves, so hopefully we get better doing. We're having a convention down in Las Vegas, and we're in September. We're taking a trip to the test site areas. We got it scheduled down there with the NSAA, and get to go back out to where some of the troops were there.
Well, that ought to be something. I really appreciate you guys spending the time to talk to us today. Fred Schaefer is the national commander of the National Association of Atomic Veterans. Frank Farmer is the treasurer. They both live in Lebanon, Oregon. Gentlemen, thank you for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
If I might make one more statement.
Yeah, go ahead, Frank.
Yeah, it's really ironic. We have our meeting every 3 months in here in Lebanon, and almost invariably we'll get one new member. One new person that comes in that doesn't even know we can talk about it yet. So it still isn't out there widespread.
Okay, so you want to make sure that people reach out to you at the National Association of Atomic Veterans. You are online.
Yes, that's what we're wanting. We're wanting to get more people educated on the fact that they can talk about it now.
Okay, Frank and Fred, thank you again for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye.